Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Oh, somebody ought to give God praise in the house. Let go and let God. Let go. Let God. That's all you got to do is let go. You've been holding on to some stuff that don't belong to you. Let God handle it. Heartache. Heartbreak. Troubles, disappointments, issues, sickness, problems, everything that's not like God, let go and let God. Turn to your neighbor if you're not too mean and say, brother, sister, whatever's bothering you, let it go. Let it go. And let God. Hallelujah. Soon as I stop worrying
how the story ends.
I let go and let God.
Let God have His way.
That's when things start happening.
Woo.
I stop looking at bad things.
Yeah.
I let go and I let God.
Oh Lord.
Let God
have His way. From the dead, and He is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Every knee
every tongue. If you're not ashamed, lift your hands up and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. One more time, He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. All over the building. Oh, my Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Oh, every knee, every tongue, confess that Christ is Lord. I know He is. I know He is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. Let the Holy Ghost take us through the text and teach us what You'll have us to know. Give us illumination and understanding in Your Word. Then reveal the principles that we might practice them for profit, and more especially give You the praise. We thank You in advance for what You shall do because of Your Word. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Get your Bibles. And I want you to turn them to a very familiar passage of Scripture found in Psalms 37. I believe with all my heart that the believers are dealing with issues and plagued with problems and don't know how to handle them. They're allowing them to reign over them and to bring them into bondage and to do untold damage underneath the skin when we are the privileged of God, the people of God. We have dominion over Satan and all of these issues that he presents to us. And this word, the very familiar word from the Word of God, will help us. I believe it's a word that you're very familiar with, but I pray the Spirit will give you new enlightenment to help you in this word. Psalm 37 verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither away. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This word is an intriguing word. It's an interesting word for the believer who has allowed problems and circumstances and issues to bring them to an all-time low. This is a psalm of David, David the king of Israel, David, one who loved the Lord with all of his heart and sought the Lord in a way that others could not even fathom. This is David speaking here, who has received revelation about this issue of fretting over people and circumstances that God has given him the revelation about that just don't matter. Now, first of all, he says, fret not thyself. Listen at the construction of this sentence. Fret not thyself. If you and I would have said that, we would have said, don't fret or fret not. But notice what he says. Fret not thyself. First thing I want you to know is that you are in control of what you worry about. Not the issues, but you. Not the problems, but you. Not the circumstances, but you. Notice he said, fret not thyself. Thyself. Now, one of the problems most of us have is we don't take responsibility for ourselves. Listen, somebody might hurt us, but we, through fretting, continue to hurt ourselves. Somebody may knock us down, but we, through our fretting, continue to stay down. Somebody might disappoint us, but through fretting, we continue to disappoint ourselves. And so thyself is an important part of understanding this equation about not fretting. First thing I need you to really understand is this word fret. In the original language, and there are many definitions for it, but the one that is in this contextual grouping suggests that it is that makes one hot underneath the skin. Burn underneath the skin. You know when somebody say, that just burns me up, or that makes me hot under the collar? That is a literal rendering of what it does. It literally burns you up. It means to bring heat underneath the skin. It makes you so mad where there is a chemical reaction because of the emotional signal that the brain gets that sends all of those chemicals together that literally makes you hot inside. It's not a joke. You really get hot. You get hot. But notice what it says. Listen to what it says. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. Others may do whatever they want to do, but don't you do that to yourself. Now, here are two different groups of people he's telling you that we do that to. One, the evildoers. And two, the workers of iniquity. Now listen to this. First of all, the evildoers, the most simplistic definition of evildoers are those who do evil. Can't make it no simpler than that. However you want to break it down and say what they do and all the rest of that, that's defining by example. But the simplest definition is those who do evil. Now, the workers of iniquity are a little different because those are the ones in iniquity. The simple definition for that is vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. Now, you are getting hot over evildoers and folk that do vain, foolish, and nothingness. Now, the question becomes, why? Why? Generally, we get hot under the collar and we get burned up because we usually desire something they have or desire something from them and cannot have it. We usually fret ourselves because we figure we're more deserving. You know, listen to the Christian, you know, I pay my tithe, I give my offering, I come to prayer service, I come to Bible study, I come to Sunday school, I do this, I serve on this ministry, and in this ministry, I do this. We do all of this, and we elevate ourselves to a place, and then we look at the person who's an evildoer or a worker of iniquity, and they don't have no relationship with God or the church, and it appears that they are prospering on every hand. You work hard, sometimes two jobs, barely have a decent place to stay, and there they are dealing drugs, etc., and they're living in fine homes, driving fine cars, don't work on nobody's job. They're there at home when you leave, they're there when you come back from work. They're dressed better than you dress on Sunday morning. They've got all kinds of beautiful jewelry and they're flashing and so forth, and we get ourselves all in a tizzy because our focus is wrong. Let me tell you why you ought not fret. Let me give you three quick reasons. I don't want to hold you long. First one is it corrupts the soul. When you fret over other folks' stuff, it corrupts your soul. See, one of the things that David recognized is that you have got to put your focus on God and not on the enemies of God. You've got to know that your focus is worthy of God and His good and the things that God wants you to do, the purpose for your life, not the problem and the people who try to circumvent what God has desire of you to do and for you. See, that's a good way to get upset. That's a good way to get discouraged at looking at the world and the people of the world and don't understand Scripture in its entirety, especially as it relates to the people in the world. You see, what you're missing is this world is not your home. That you're a pilgrim passing through. You have a purpose. You're in this world to make a difference as long as you're here representing God. Men ought to know that you are in this world and are not like this world, not caught up on this world, but you understand what the programmatic thrust of God is for this world, and your job is to try and save as many folk in this world as you can while you're here. In this world, it's not about how you can pack and stack stuff. It's not about getting all you can get and hoarding and all of those things. It's about living the life that God wants you to live. You've got a greater reward than this world could ever give you waiting on the other side. Matter of fact, you've got a taste of it when you got saved. And there's so much more waiting for you as you continue in Christ Jesus. But one of the things David said is clear is that it corrupts your soul. You've got to be careful. He said, remember, fret not who? Thyself. You're corrupting your own soul. You're messing you up. And then notice he goes on, number two, to make clear the reason why we ought not fret is it's contagious to the saints. Because one of the things that you're going to recognize is, notice David makes clear, fret not thyself because of who? One, evildoers, doers. Now he moves on because it's continually contagious. Neither be thou envious against who? The workers of iniquity. Now, listen, what you've got to understand is once the corruption is contagious in your thought processes and messes you up, then you start talking to other folk and mess them up. And all you got to do is be around a contagious person long enough. And for you know it, that spirit jumps on you. You're trying to deal. You're trying to manage with your issues. You're trying to manage with how you feel about other folk who seem to be progressing and don't deserve it, and other people who seem to be in places that God has not blessed you to be in, and so forth and so on. And now you're at a point where here somebody else comes up and they start telling you all of this negativity, and you start hearing all of this, and then you start thinking about your situation and how many folk you know that oughtn't be where they ought to be and wouldn't have what they ought to have. And on and on and on, and you start, and before you know it, it starts turning into a complaint issue among the saints. One of the things God detested among the Israelites was the fact that they did nothing but complain. They didn't tell God all about it. They got with each other, who couldn't do nothing about each other's situation, and just kept on talking about it, murmuring, complaining, bickering, talking about something without the desire for a solution. But the third reason why, not only does it corrupt the soul and is contagious to the saints, but it's confusing to the sinner concerning Scripture. It's confusing to the sinner concerning Scripture. What are you talking about? Verse 2. For soon, for they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as green herb. Now, if you as a believer believe this, then what are you fretting about? You confuse the sinner according to Scripture, if because listen, they know it's a dog eat dog world. They are in it. They know they don't even plan to get old. They know they get grasp, get everything they can put their hands on, because it's all about right now. It's about the here. It's about what I can be and accomplish and do right here and now. Tomorrow is not they have that understanding. So they live life to the fullest every day, doing every damnable thing they can do, because there is no hereafter for them. They think when they're dead, they're done. So it's confusing when the believer starts hating on the sinner about what the sinner has, about what the sinner has attracted and attached to him or herself. That's confusing to them when you serve a God who owns the whole world and holds it in the palm of his hand. It confuses the sinner when you try to get an attitude about what they've got, especially when they look at what you've got. And it's one thing if you had it and didn't want them to have it, but you don't have it. And so they look down upon you when you look down upon them, because they figure the motive of your hateration is the fact that you ain't got it. But they're confused because you're singing, "You can have this whole world, just give me Jesus." I wish I had a help in the house. That's what you're singing. It's confusing because you're singing, "I surrender all." Don't get mad with me, the sinner is saying, "because I got it and you surrendered it all." Lord, are y'all hearing me here? Listen, our confession suggests that we've got a greater stake in heaven and not worried about these things here. Not that we can't have them, not that they're not worth anything, not that God doesn't want us to have them, but these are things we've confessed. And so the sinner begins to wonder Why are you so curious about their success and don't care for their soul? And so, if they're going to fret as believers and then condemn the sinner for what they get on this side, because it's nothing but hell and damnation on the other side for them, if they do not accept Jesus Christ before they leave this side. And then David, he says, so understand, it corrupts the soul. It's contagious to the saints. It's confusing to the sinner concerning Scripture. But then he turns the attention to the upswing. Then he says, trust in the Lord. And do good. Now look at how he sets this up now, because this is an instructional word, and it's important for you to understand that. You trust in the Lord. In, again, denotes relationship. You got to be in relationship with him to trust him. Trust in the Lord, and conjunction there, tying together that if you trust him, you're going to do good. And if you do good, so shalt you dwell. You're going to dwell. What is well? Dwell, a compound word, do well in the land. You're going to do well in the land. And verily, truly, thou shalt be fed. Now look at this, because this is important. Verse 1 and 2 tells us to refrain from fretting. But verse 3 tells us to rely on God's faithfulness. Rely on God's faithfulness. Now this is for everybody who calls himself a believer. So if somebody's sleeping right now, nudge him and say, wake up, this is your part. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. Do good. Listen, when you trust in the Lord, you do good because of your relationship with him, not because of what you see or don't see in the world. It's based upon what God wants you to do. You're not motivated. You're not activated by the things of the world, but rather by the trusting in God. And when you do that, he says, you're going to dwell in the land, do well in the land. You got to understand that it's important for you, when you trust God and do good, to know God has made some promises. You will dwell in the land, do well in the land. And verily, truly, God is saying, I'm going to feed you. Now, this doesn't just mean I'm going to feed you. Literally, it means I'm going to fulfill you. It takes it beyond just eating, because how many of us can eat and still never be fulfilled? How many times have we eaten stuff just to stay alive, but they ain't really do nothing for us? There is a difference when you eat those things that you desire to have, and they not only fill you, but they fulfill you. That was good. I'm good. My appetite is filled. My desires are filled. That was great. That God does more than the basics for you. God wants to take you to that place in him where you are blessed and know you're blessed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So there are three things I need you to understand about this verse. First thing is that God gives us, he supplies what we have. God supplies what we have. If you're not too mean and shamed this morning, turn to your neighbor and say, God supplies what I have. When you trust in God and do good, God supplies what you have.
Any witnesses in the house?
Amen.